It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
There are many problems in the world today, and I think there are so many problems that people just can't comprehend not only the problems, but how to solve those problems. But I see one of the fastest growing problems is that of someone being biblically ignorant. Now, this problem is not only found in the people of the world, but is also found in the church. One respected person who did a survey said this: "Some Americans still revere the Bible, but they, by and large, they don't read it. And because they don't read it, they have become a nation of biblical illiterates." How bad is it? Well, consider these results from various surveys. This survey says fewer than half of all adults can name the four Gospels. Next, many professing Christians cannot identify more than two or three of the disciples. Next, 60% of Americans can't name even five of the Ten Commandments. Next, 82% of Americans believe God helps those who help themselves. They believe that's a Bible verse. Of course, it isn't. And then we see that this survey goes on to say 12% of adults believe that Joan of Arc was Noah's wife. And then a survey of graduating high school seniors revealed that over 50% thought that Sodom and Gomorrah were husband and wife. And finally, a considerable number of respondents to one poll indicated that the Sermon on the Mount was preached by Billy Graham. That's sad. All of these things, this is true, what I just read you. Well, another respected person who does surveys said, increasingly, America is biblically illiterate. Biblical illiteracy is like a poison. It's wreaking havoc in the lives of individuals in our churches and in our communities, our world. Let's take a look at the poison of biblical illiteracy. First of all, its effect on individuals. We look at that, and we also see God's people have always been destroyed by lack of knowledge. Hosea 4:1 says, "Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. For the Lord hath controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land." That sounds pretty familiar today in America. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children." Well, I also see that where there is lack of God's word, the people faint. In other words, they weaken. Now, in Amos chapter 8 and verses 11 through 13, it says this: "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from north even to the east, they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst." Thirst for the word of God, in other words, thirst for the things of God. But when people ignore God and His word, there comes a time when God says enough is enough. And without the word of the Lord, in ignorance, people make the wrong choices. When they stumble, they don't know where to turn, and without knowledge of God's word, a person has no real direction or guidance in life. Psalm 119 says in 105, verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." I also see that without knowledge of God's word, a person has no true joy or peace in life. Psalm 119, 111 says this: "Thy testimonies," man, this is God's word, the testimonies, God's word. He says, "Have I taken as an heritage from forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart." And then again in Psalm 119, verse 165, it says, "Great peace have they which love thy law." And that's God's word. And it goes on to say, "And nothing shall offend them." The word offend means to cause hurt or resentment, to cause irritation or anger. See, when a person gets into God's word, a peace that passes all human understanding is experienced. Nothing can take that peace from a person who is listening to God through his word. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. "And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." How many lives are being destroyed today? How many people are stumbling through life because they do not have the light of God's word guiding them? It's a poison of biblical illiteracy and its effects on churches that's causing the problem today. Churches languish for a lack of teachers. Teachers are few because of lack of knowledge. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12 says, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." Churches are led astray by false teachers and false doctrine today. Without knowledge, how can the ignorant know what is false? 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, it says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." Verse 3 goes on to say, "And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not." Well, how many people are going into the heresies and the feigned words of those of these so-called evangelist preachers on TV and radio who say, "Send in $1,000 and I'll see to it," or "God will see to it that you'll get tenfold of that $1,000. Send your seed money in," they tell you this. One will even tell you that they will send you a packet of water from the Jordan River and that water will heal you. Well, if you go back and read in the Old Testament, you'll find that a man by the name of Naaman was told to go dip in the Jordan River, and the Jordan River was so dirty he didn't want to dip in it. God help you if you get that so-called Jordan River water from that person who's selling it on TV or on the radio or wherever they are selling that water, and you drink that stuff. God help you. I really don't think it's water from the Jordan River. I think it's tap water or whatever, wherever they get that stuff from. But don't fall for this stuff. The Bible says that they're going to come. And folks, they're here now. How many churches are dying on the vine or into wholesale apostasy because their members cannot discern between truth and error? What about the poison of biblical illiteracy and its effect on communities? Our standards of morality are distorted. Good is seen as evil, and evil is seen as good. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20 says this, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." God says in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20 that nothing but grief, and this is woe, is in store for those communities, those nations who refuse to listen. They twist or ignore God's word. Those people who try to say that ungodly living or a particular sin named in the word of God is simply a matter of a person's interpretation. They are in for grief. People had better listen to God's interpretation. When he says sin is sin, it's sin. When God names sin, it is sin. Sin has not changed since the Garden of Eden. Sin is still sin. God is still good, and he never changes. And good is still good, and evil is still evil. We slaughter the innocent. Abortion. The abortions in this country, millions have been killed. We slaughter the innocent, sparing the guilty. In other words, that person in prison needs to be treated better than that baby in the womb that hasn't been born but is still a human being. That person in prison is treated better. No capital punishment for capital crimes. Not anymore. In today's society, the wicked, sinful person is rewarded with prestige, honor, money. They are esteemed by the world as being so great that all of us and that all of the children growing up should be like them. God help us. Adultery is looked upon lightly. Fornication as an affair. A relationship. Homosexuality as an alternative lifestyle. And this next word that I'm going to use may shock you and it may offend you, but today, if you are a queer, you have arrived in the world's sight. Look around. From the achievements I see, the queers made it. TV shows, men marrying men, women marrying women, men saying they are not really men, but in reality are women. And on it goes. But one day God will say that's enough. And by the way, all of this that I've said is based upon the Word of God that sin is sin. All of these things I've mentioned, sin is sin. If God lets America get away with what's happening today, He will have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. I've got news for you. God is not going to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. What God is going to do, unless people quit being illiterate, is to bring His wrath down upon this country and the world without apology. And I believe it's here now. It's starting. Someone has said, I don't believe you should be so harsh in calling a person's personal preference a sin. Well, why not? God does. Revelation 21:8 says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. 1 Corinthians 6:9 says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. God does not hate anyone. God hates sin. God says, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 34. What is God saying? Christian, quit being illiterate. The poison of such things I have mentioned destroys our families and communities. Consider how the moral fabric of our nation and others in the world are becoming unraveled when everyone does what is right in his own eyes instead of doing what is right in God's sight. What can we do? First, give your life to the Lord. Get saved. Receive Jesus as your Savior. Now, I have nothing to gain by you receiving Jesus as your Savior, but you, on the other hand, have everything to lose if you don't receive Him. By not receiving the free gift of eternal life or offered to you by Jesus, all that awaits you is a devil's hell. There is coming a time when you leave this world without receiving Christ as your Savior that you will stand before Him. Matthew 25:41 says, then shall He say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. God loves you today and He wants you to be saved. Christian, God wants you to get in His Word and learn it, study it, and stand up for Him.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.